Hello, everybody, and welcome to Happy Horror Time. This is episode 4, and we are so excited. We're having our very first guest. He has done the stage. He's done the television. He has done the movies. I'm not good with my words.
I've done the TV. I've done the movies. I've done the Broadway.
He's a triple threat. He sings. Do you dance?
I do dance.
He dances. I did a little back in the day in high school. Try to find the king and I. Okay, so we're here with the wonderful, awesome Kevin Spiritus, who agreed to talk to Happy Horror Time. So thank
Why
you so
wouldn't
much.
I agree? This is great. Thanks for having me, Tim.
Oh, thank you for sitting in my backyard.
It's lovely here. We are definitely having an L.A. moment right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's so this pretty.
This is beautiful.
No airplanes flying above,
no.
Hopefully.
No.
Knock on wood.
You asked me if I danced. And
yes.
The job that brought me to Los Angeles was the national touring company of a chorus line,
ooh,
which we played at the Saban, which was then called the Wilshire Theater. And I did that for 3 months in 1982 here.
Got it.
And yeah, I'm old. Yeah, I know. Thanks, man.
He was born in 1983.
But that was, I don't dance like that anymore, but I still got it.
Oh gosh, I do not got it. I have 2 left feet. It is a hot mess when I dance. I don't even like to dance in a bar under the influence. Side
We're
note.
Not going to go
yeah,
there.
Don't you know? I don't.
Because that's water in that.
Yes,
bottle,
it's
right?
Just it's straight up vodka.
Okay. Hi.
So yes, welcome. So okay, so you've done all of these things. Which is your favorite?
You know, this is a question that's asked all the time, and I have to say that each aspect of the business, stage, screen, TV, theater, music, singing, they're all different muscles. You know, they're all, you work them differently. Like the soap operas.
By the way, I love soaps. Go on. But I did not watch Days of Our Lives.
Well, why am I sitting here? My God.
Listen, I have got to be honest. There's so much lying and fake news. I want to be honest with you.
No, Days was not the only soap I did, but you learn tons and tons and tons of dialogue
on
a daily
imagine.
Basis, on a weekly basis, and you put it in your head, and then you let it go. Like, you never have to say it again. Well, you have to say it again sort of the next week because it's rehashed. But it's basically a muscle on how to take in the dialogue, stick it, and then let it go. And whereas a play or a musical on stage, you learn scene by scene by scene. You get from A to Z within a certain amount of time. And that is repeated day by day by day, 8 shows a week usually.
Oh.
And you hold that in your mind and you hold that in your brain, and then it comes out the same way, but there's some different element of emotion behind it. It's a variation on what you do. It's really extraordinary. So what is my favorite? I still love singing. It's like one of my top things I love to do. And live theater is probably still the greatest because it's immediate. It's right then and there. But there's so much other stuff you can do when you're doing film. You know, you cover an entire, it takes in so much.
So when you're doing daytime.
Daytime.
When you get the script,
mm-hmm. Usually about a week ahead.
Okay.
Usually.
So what is your, just even thinking about it makes me like stressed out. So you open it and you're just like, I have to learn all this. And you also have to be in the moment. And I'm guessing they don't do that many takes.
Well, they don't. And it's actually, I'm not on the soap anymore.
No, but I mean.
No, but at the time, what'd you say?
Matt doesn't have a microphone.
But
just kidding. Lovely Matt is here, everyone.
Here's the thing: you see the dialogue, you see your scene, you learn your scene, and you know what's coming. They've taken away the teleprompters, they've taken away the cue cards. They're really cutting down, so it really makes you have to hone it in, you know, and really like stick it in your brain. And there are times you just trip over the word. Sorry. That just came out wrong. And if you, the trick was, if you knew that that was a bad take and you knew that you were tripping on, you just stop it anyway because they're not going to. And you always learned how to take care and protect yourself. Right. So, I don't know. I remember we'd get about a week and a half ahead of time, we'd get our scripts. And, you know, it's basically bullshit, 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 my line. Can I say bullshit on the podcast?
Of course.
Bullshit.
You can say fuck. Say fuck. I'm just kidding.
Bullshit, 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 my line. Bullshit, 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 my line. So, you know, you start to look at, and then the scenes that are not anything to do with you, you just
right away. Trash.
I would actually start to look at that stuff a week ahead, just to start to gradually take it in. And then maybe if there's a lot of heavy dialogue or monologues, 3 to 2 days before, I used to just sort of like scan it and really get it in there. And then the night before, I'd be lucky to have like an afternoon call. So I'd be like on the Stairmaster or the elliptical, and I'd be like, what do you mean, Nancy? What do you mean? I can't do it. She's my daughter. No, she's not my daughter. You know, all that stuff.
Do you still watch soaps today?
I really don't.
Oh. I watch The Bold and the Beautiful.
I hate to say, well, Patrika's on the Bold.
Yes.
Patrika Darbo, who played my wife, Nancy Wesley, on Days
of Our Lives. Plays Shirley Spectra.
I love her. I did tune in to watch her. She's great.
I love her, too.
And you know what? Once in a while, I'll turn on, I'll be in a hotel room or I'll be at,
so it's like background for you.
Yeah, yes and no. You can't stop. You can't help but stop.
How do you have?
It's like a car accident. Oh my God! They're gonna say this line again.
Right. No. Oh yeah, they repeat the dialogue so much. But for some reason, I don't care. I'll eat it up. I'm like, great.
You know, there's a new world of soap coming around.
I know.
And I have to say, segue into my
please
next
do
topic. So soaps, as they are, they represent something really wonderful, and they represented a really great era of time and entertainment, and we still have some of the elders on Days and on Young and the Restless who put these shows there, you know. I personally feel that there's no better way to tell a story than to tell it through a soap opera or the soap opera style. But at the same time, it's a little over the top sometimes. It gets a little
Not my soap, The Bold and the Beautiful. It's the best.
It gets a little hyperactive. It gets a little overactive. And, you know, there's so much emphasis on the beauty of the women and the hair and the costume, that there's no realness sometimes. You kind of miss the crumpledness, which I like.
Like people's flaws and stuff. Yeah.
So funny story, about 11 years ago, I moved back to New York, and I stayed there for about 7.5 years. And during that time, Patrika Darbo called me up, and she said, Kevin, I'm coming to New York, and you and I are going to the ISA Awards. And I said, what? She goes, the ISA Awards. And I said, ICE? She goes, ISA, ISA.
You actually sound like her. I feel like you're channeling her.
Crazy. I love her. Anyway, I said, what are the ISA Awards? And she says, they're the Indie Series Awards. And I thought, oh, God, what is she dragging me to now? And I got to this little theater that they had borrowed to do this award show. And not knowing what I was about to see, I began to see the most extraordinary delivery of production and content in story and film and TV or whatever, and digital. So it was for the web. And I could not believe that most of this stuff, that 99% of it was better than the stuff I'd seen in the theaters, and better than the crap I've seen on TV. And I was so impressed by the storytelling and what they were doing and how they were doing it on their own. And they were doing it for a shoestring budget. So there's a couple people I went up to after the show. And one was a gentleman by the name of Sebastian Lacoste. And Sebastian wrote this really wonderful web series. Well, we'll call it digital series now. he was one of the pioneers. And he wrote something called Hustling. And Hustling was a story that he concocted about a hustler trying to make it back into the world, the real world of business, and being pulled back in to do the hustling. And it was so fantastic. And I said, if you're doing a second season, my name's Kevin Spears. He goes, Kevin, I know who you are. I said, no, I just, you're so fucking talented. And he'd won all these awards, best director, best writing, best acting, best cast, everything. And I was just impressed, and I couldn't believe what I saw him do. So he graciously accepted my request, and he wrote in a very small part for me for the second season and third season. And I got to learn what was really happening, more so than I had learned on the set of Days. Because that's a 45, 50-year-old, you know,
it's a
well-oiled machine. And just, I didn't say that. I'd go back to Days in a minute. Right. I mean, I loved playing Craig. I really did. I had a lot of fun. But the thing for me is that I now saw an opportunity to tell a story that was closer to me and more tailored to my assets? No, that's not the word.
Essence?
Tailored to what I do best, and that's just be me. No, mm-hmm. I really wanted to find something. I wanted to tell a story, so I was inspired to say, what am I doing right now? What story would I tell if I had to tell it? And I can't go into all of it because I can't give away the trailer. I can't give away the storyline. But I was in New York, and I had turned 50, and I was dating, and I was this single gay man dating, and I was like, these are the funniest, craziest dating situations I've ever. I mean, it's all changed since I was your age.
Oh, that's so.
I mean,
nice.
Just Grindr, Tinder, the bars are, you know, people are not. They're not even. It's not even that. It's that if you and I were sitting across from each other, and the moment you get bored or something, you're like, take out your phone. Start, really?
Yeah. I have learned that it is so rude because someone said, I don't know who said it or where I saw it, but as soon as someone picks up, it's like, oh, I'm not interesting enough for you. So I am so conscious of that now, unless I'm like checking the weather or the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's which is every 5 seconds.
I do. I need to know.
But the truth of the matter was, is I thought there's got to be some humor here. And this is something that I could easily step into. And I didn't really know how I was going to step into it. And then before that happened, I was then asked by another person, Michael. What's Michael's last? Oh, my God. Michael, forgive me.
Michael Urie?
No. Oh, my God. Look up. Winterthorne. Michael. It's a.
Thanks, Matt. I'm not going to look at my phone.
Anyway. He called me up and said, there's a role. Would you do it? And I said, yes. Michael. Winterthorne. Oh, no. Michael Caruso. Oh, my God. Michael. Don't listen to this podcast until now. Michael Caruso and his wife, Barbie Caruso. I couldn't believe I just stuck on their name. That's a senior moment. I was just in Reading last night doing my show, my one-man show, and I forgot Jerry Orbach's name. And I was, who's the guy from Law and Order, Jerry Orbach. I went, oh my God, I'm having such a senior moment, and the entire audience is, of course, seniors. Okay, so back to the Michael Caruso. I know. So I got nominated for an Emmy. That was the first year they opened up the Emmy categories to digital. So I was, you know, here I was like working and creating, and Michael wrote me this really great part, and I got to wear this fur, and it was fun. But I really wanted to write something more simple and close and not as heightened, is the word I'll say, as a daytime soap can be or some of the stuff that Michael was writing, which is fine. And I knew I was going to have to get assistance with this. I knew I was going to have some sort of partnership to create story and story arc and character development. And I was at the gym. This is June 1st, 2014, and there's a tap on my shoulder, and this gentleman says, are you Kevin Spiritus? I went, why, yes, I am. Like, he said my name so perfectly. Does he know me? And he said, I'm Michael Slade. And Michael had worked on Days of Our Lives. Just as I was being written off, Michael had been called in as a writer, too. I said, oh, my God, how are you? Nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. What are you doing? He says, well, I'm working on a couple of plays, and I'm doing this and that. I said, any soaps? He goes, no, no, no. And I said, you want to write a new one? And he's like, what are you? No, no, no. And I said, no, I'm serious. And I pitched him my idea, and he said, we should talk. So for about 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks, we sat every other day and spoke about my ideas and what I was thinking and how I thought this could be seen. And at the end of that 3 weeks, we both came to this really wonderful collaboration of stories, something that he brought from his life and stuff that I was bringing from my life. And we have created a new digital series called After Forever.
Nice.
The series. And it's about love and loss and new beginnings for everyone.
That's, I will tune in.
And I say it's a gay story because it's two gay men, you know, having a relationship, but it's actually a universal theme, and it deals with so many universal moments of our lives and how we go through life and what happens in life and what hits us in the face in life. Just everything. It always is in front of you. So,
oh, I can relate.
Yeah. And Mitchell Anderson came out of retirement to play my leading man.
Awesome. And just Michael for people Urie don't know.
Michael Urie is also in it.
Oh, really? I did a short film with Michael Urie in 2007.
He's the best. He is the best. Michael's the best.
Yeah. I mean, my friend Vanessa asked him to do this short film. I said, sure. Yeah, you saw it. I'll show it to you.
Okay.
It's I think I kill him. No. I just gave away the movie.
Oh,
it's okay.
Edit that out.
No, I don't know how to do it. Oh, well.
Oh, yes, I'm actually.
Oh, but what I was going to say is the person that you brought out of retirement was in Jaws 4.
Jaws 4. You know, Mitchell and I have known each other for about 30 some odd years.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, we kind of grew up, you know, cutting our teeth in Hollywood here. He go up for a part, I go up for a part. And we had a 12-day shoot.
Yikes.
We shot 8 episodes. This is short form, so each episode is about 10 to 12 minutes-ish. And we had 112 pages to shoot.
Oh, my gosh.
In 12 days. And not only did I think he'd be perfect in this role and that he would not only shine and just take it by the... He's so good in this show. But I needed someone who I could have immediate connection with and immediate intimacy. And, you know, we just picked right up where we left off.
That's so
great.
That
was really great. So he's in it. Katie Huffman, she's a big Broadway star. Tony Award-winning Broadway star. Anita Gillette. Lenny Wolpe. Who else?
Who'd you say? Did you say Peter Frechette?
No.
I messed that up.
What did I say? I said Lenny Wolpe.
Okay.
But Peter Frechette.
You know him, right?
Hills Have Eyes Part 2.
Yes. Wes Craven. I thought you said him. I was like, what a full circle moment.
So that's the new thing. And we're aiming. I don't want to commit to it because it's all about editing. It's all about dropping this in the right time and getting the right platform, but we're aiming toward end of January, beginning of February 2018.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's not easy.
It's not, but I'm up to it. I'm up to the lessons that it presented to me. I wanted to do something. I wanted to create something. I wanted to give back something, and from learning how to do a million and one things, I think I also lead with producer. I'm a pretty good actor. I give myself credit for that, but I don't lead with good actor. I lead with producing. Like, I see things in the world as a producer, and then I move from there. But I raised the money. Michael and I both produced it. Michael Slade. We both co-wrote it, and I'm starring in it. And
that's great. Is it a?
It's a serial type of story.
I mean, is it your life or is it just loosely based?
No. Everything is fictionalized.
Okay.
Everything's fictionalized. But there is just
moments that we can all relate to.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And you'll even see what you don't see here, ladies and gentlemen, is I have a trailer that I just may show to him later on.
Yes, please. I love a good trailer. So
that was that's the next adventure, and
that's
really
great.
I've been eating, breathing, living, and sleeping this thing nonstop since April.
I mean, as someone who just went through a breakup after 4 years, like, I'm looking forward to seeing it because, like you said, you started dating again and stuff like that. I'm dreading that.
I the dating thing is kind of
awful. Is it like a horror movie?
Kind of. I mean, here's what I think. As we get older, we settle into our ways, and something keeps you very comfortable, and you don't get out of that. You isolate yourself sometimes, and you don't push yourself out of that. New York was actually better for me to be out and about, but I don't like New York as much. I like living in L.A. I like the sunshine and the sky, and
right.
I don't feel sourced as much in New York, even though this story takes place in New York because we started it in New York. So anyway, that's dating.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'm you know what? I believe that if you want it, you're open to it, it will present itself and you will attract it. And that's
I agree.
Amen.
It's just that easy.
So here this goes to the next thing. I believe everything we say, act, do, think is what creates a reality. And in the joking we do in between the words, like, isn't that funny? I hate, you know, ha ha ha. Those are the things that we put out there that keep us in that same energy mode. It's very difficult to go into this right now, but it's our thoughts create a reality. Our words create a reality.
I believe that.
Our actions create a reality.
Like, I'm in a stand-up class right now, and I'm in a weird place where, like, I don't know what's funny. Like, have you ever done stand-up?
Mm-hmm. No, not like I've done improv.
Oh, okay.
I've done
improv, which is really oh gosh,
it should be a great improv.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed improv, but working up there with five other people that are unpredictable and I don't know what they're doing, I'm like, okay, well, in stand up, I've got control, I've got the mic, I can say what I want, you know.
There's we all have a choice to present and to state words and our feelings. Any way we want. Mm-hmm. And I think what's important is to keep them honest and to keep them thought forward, if I may use that as a term.
No, that's good.
But it's all the spiritual thing that we were talking about earlier. So
shifting gears, we're doing like a 180 here.
We're doing a 180.
Okay.
How is it to work with Wes Craven? Fantastic.
Well, okay. Well, that's okay. We're done. Thank you so much.
I'm a mind reader.
No. I was going to talk about, okay, so growing up, Friday 13th was a huge part of my upbringing. I loved it because in a way, Friday 13th is a soap. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Well, exactly. So I loved it. So in a way, they're all, especially part 7 is a huge soap opera. There's so many couplings and, oh, do you have some dirt?
It's a soap opera.
It's a soap to me. I loved it. So you get the part in Friday 13th part 7.
I did not know it was Friday the 13th part 7, by the way, when I read for it. What? I don't think any of us did.
Oh,
it was
really?
Called Birthday Bash.
I would have seen that too.
And it was the code name because they weren't, you know.
Right. Secretive.
Why they have to be secretive, I don't know. But but I had met Laura Park Lincoln that day and her now late husband.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And actually, in the beginning, talk about your soap operas. Laura and I did not actually get along in the set. It talks about that in that big old stupid book, Crystal Lake.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm not happy with that.
Oh. Well, then now here's your chance to tell your side.
No, I don't have any side to tell. Anyway, but Laura and I, we were not at odds. We just came to the work differently. Talk about different religions. Talk about different, you know, ways of thinking. Talk about different acting approaches. And we just... And once that was all done behind us, we're good friends now. I mean, we're just... I talk to her at least 2-3 times a year, I think, is about it. And she's had some really great success down in Texas. I think that's where she's at. And she teaches kids how to audition, and she does some acting work herself. And then, of course, we see each other at the autograph, you know, conventions. Yes.
It, does she move things?
Yeah.
So at those conventions, are Friday 13th fans the best?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's so much.
Sorry, there's Jason, leaves falling on
there's
us.
There's so much Jason mania, mm-hmm. you know, and there's Kane. Kane, by the way, I met Kane originally during the last day of filming on The Hills Have Eyes Part 2.
Oh, wow.
He was the stuntman on this big fire ring that they were doing. And he came onto into the trailer and said, hi. I said, hi, what's your name? Kane. Hi, nice to meet you, Kane. Kevin. What do you do? Stunts. You know, whatever. He was just great. And then I didn't, I never saw him again. And then, the funny thing about Full Circle is I went, Santa Barbara was still a soap on television.
I remember
it. And I was auditioning for a new series regular on Santa Barbara. Here comes a plane.
Oh. And, it won't read.
I'll talk very close to this mic. And oh, it's a chopper. And I saw Kane come running through the hall. He goes, I said, Kane, how are you, man? He goes, oh, hey, Kevin, how are you doing? Listen, guess what I just found out? I'm going to be the new Jason on Friday the 13th. I can't believe it. That's the one where I didn't get the part. They canceled the part on
Santa Barbara,
but I went and read for Birthday Bash, and that was Friday the 13th. So we all had a reunion.
I just love how
it's all kind of laced and placed in front of you.
Well, what is that fact that they say only 2% of SAG actors are working? Is that so?
Yeah.
I mean, of course you're about to see people you know.
Yeah. Well, he was the stunt coordinator over at Santa Barbara. I forgot to mention that. So that was kind of cool.
They did stunts on Santa Barbara?
Oh, yeah. They sure
actually
did.
That's true. Daytime
has some
crazy... Yeah. There's always something blowing up.
Now, the other thing, back to the 2% of people.
Oh, wait. I don't really... Don't hold me to it. I'm just throwing out facts.
Which is why I was compelled to create something.
Yeah,
because
I
wanted to work.
Yeah.
And I think anybody who wants to work should go out and create work.
I totally agree.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Friday the 13th. We had a great time.
It was in Alabama, right?
Alabama. Shreveport, Louisiana. Wait, what was Shreveport, Louisiana? That was something else.
You're from St. Louis, right?
St. Louis, Missouri.
I did my research.
Wait a minute, we were in Alabama.
Yeah.
What was the city?
Oh, gosh, I couldn't tell you that.
It was during the Olympics.
Oh, wow.
Winter Olympics.
Were you guys, like, watching the Olympics?
We would huddle in some of the rooms at night and watch the luge, or this ice skating, or whatever.
So did you guys stay in hotels, or did you stay in cabins,
No, we are not the movie. We did not stay in cabins. No, we actually stayed in a little kind of interesting little hotel there. And then 12, was it 5 weeks? I can't remember. A lot of it was done here on Soundstage.
Oh, okay.
No, we did in Gardena.
Oh, okay.
And
did you have a blast? I mean, was it a good time?
You know, it was a good time. I didn't realize it was Friday the 13th good time. I mean, I didn't know that this was going to be something that was going to live on.
I know.
Forever,
I mean, next
ever.
Year,
and
it's like,
you know,
30th.
I'm every Friday the 13th. There's a residual check waiting for me.
Oh my gosh! So it's like
somewhere
on
it's
the
playing.
14th, like you open your mailbox and you're getting.
It's not quite the 14th. It might be the 17th or the 18th, but it is. It is really, you know, I'm part of this iconic, you know, silly thing.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, it was such a huge part of my childhood because it was like, you know, we didn't have 900 channels. We didn't have, it was like, okay, our option was the movie theater and this is what was playing and it was a Paramount movie. So it was like the biggest thing in the world. And it was so forbidden because like there's nudity and there's violence. And I'm like, what time?
You know what was fun? My Friday the 13th. Mine. It's mine.
You own it.
Yeah, I own it. No, the Friday the 13th Part 7, which is the episode, the segment, this number I was in, we opened that night, that Friday night, we opened at the Grauman's Chinese Theater.
That's awesome.
That was awesome. Come on. How many people get to say their movie opened at the...
That theater's huge.
Yeah, well, this was the original theater. It wasn't the redone thing where there's no... I don't know. But my aunt and uncle came in from Arcadia and cousins, and they're yelling at the deaths. One! You know, two! Six.
Matt just asked, for people that can't hear Matt, how old was he, Kevin Spiritus?
I can't actually remember what age. It was in my... Oh, I'm going to say mid to late 20s-ish. Yeah, because then I went to Romania.
Oh, yeah. And you did another horror film?
I did Subspecies 2 and 3, The Bloodstone and The Bloodlust. Oh, yes. We did 3 months in Romania. And this is a year after Ceausescu had fallen. So we were literally no internet. The way you had to get a phone call, you had to crank the phone. And
oh, dear.
But what was great was I turned 30 there that year, and I wanted to mark... ritualize the birthday. And I invited the entire crew and the cast, you know, the cast, of course, is American, but all the ladies in the little, the secretaries of the place we stayed at and the crew. And they brought me handmade presents. I still have them. They'd fold a piece of paper and they'd make a flower out of it, or they'd draw a card, or just, it was just amazing, the cultural difference. And, you know, wasn't
America.
America! I was kind of impressed by it. It really was. And I turned 30.
That's awesome.
And that's where I became friends with the one and only delicious Denise Duff. And she played Nuts.
I can't help you out there.
I cannot remember her name in the show. I just remember her name, Denise Duff. She is one of my best friends. She's turned herself into an extremely talented and gifted photographer. And she does headshots. She does still photography. I helped deliver her baby.
Oh, my gosh. That's not an easy task.
Her husband, Michael Duff, did our website for After Forever. That's a 27-year
friendship. That's great.
That was
bonded by a horror movie.
Bounded, yes.
What
are those other questions you're going to ask me?
Well, okay. So what were you going to say?
Yes.
Yeah.
You in the
Matt,
audience.
My friend Matt wants to ask a question. Here you go, Matt.
Oh, hi, Kevin. Hi.
Yeah,
not like I
here?
Haven't been sitting here. No, were there any talks at the end, since you and Lar survived, about doing a sequel? Or because, you know, not many people, and I think up until that point, two people hadn't survived. In number six, the girl and the boyfriend
survived.
But
they survived. And then I know, what's his name, in part six?
Tom Matthews. He's a hunk. Just kidding.
Yeah, he's not around these days.
I know he's alive.
We did a commercial together. I know he's alive. But we did a commercial years ago, and we both survived. Laura and I.
Were they knocking on your door? Like, hey, Jason's taking Manhattan. We want you to be a part of it.
Well, you know what? I actually wrote a spec script.
Oh, wow.
For part eight. Oh, Matt's choking.
Matt's choking.
I can't believe I actually had the audacity. And it's a really good script. It's a really good sample script. They wouldn't buy it, of course, but it was a new way how to resurrect Jason, which I thought was kind of cool. So I'll just have my own monster.
But that's the thing. Like, okay, so in '88 when it opened, there was no internet. People don't, and like, even when stuff came out on video, there was no special features. So it's like now with the internet. And people finding Friday the 13th, are you just like, oh my gosh, this film won't die?
No.
But I mean, it gets new fans all the time. And
I mean, listen, people love Days of Our Lives. It's been for 50 years. It has the same iconic branding as something like James Bond, or as Friday the 13th, or Star Wars. These things in different genres and different areas all say something.
Yeah.
So I just sort of think it's cool. You know.
So one of the things, my friend Matt.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
My friend Matt. So you've done all these things. And one thing that I find that I could never do, but my friend Matt has done two plays where he's like buck naked on stage. Are you? And you're not afraid of nudity either. How can you do like a whole day on set and be naked? Because, well, I mean, I can't even take a shower.
Do you know that I did this in New York?
No. Yeah. Did you do a play in New York also?
I did two plays in New York, two different plays. That one, I was buck naked.
On stage.
I was just, I get out of the bed. I'm like, where's my underwear? Yeah, it's, you know what?
It's just the human body. Who cares?
I think, what? I have to say, it's you know, first of all, I am, what's happening?
I just want, because no one can hear Matt over there.
I mean, I'm very grateful and thankful that my molecules are arranged the way they are. Okay, so that being one, I'm very comfortable in my skin, and I take care of myself, and I,
You're a leading
but
man.
But so, yeah, but sometimes I have a leading gut as well. So it's, you know, you gotta keep that midsection up. But anyway, for me, it's really about if you're in the moment of the play or of the scene of the show, right? It's not, we're all naked.
I totally agree. I think, like, as I get older, it's like, who cares? Because, like, we're all, like you said, we're all naked. But I think when, like, America and society, we're all like, it's always like, like, we're shocked, but you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I, you know, I don't give it any thought.
You're a mature adult.
There was actually supposed to be some more nudity than there is in After Forever. There's a shower scene where I run into the shower, and it's this huge glass shower, which all just happened to fog up fine. It you can tell it's me, no big deal, but. There was also, we were supposed to be in bed, Mitchell and I, and at one point, someone said, you know, the crew is at, they're a little squeamish. I said, Jesus Christ, can I just do my work? You know, I'll put my underwear on, all right, so you guys can be okay over there. It's my butt. And if you see me flash something else, it really wasn't about the nudity. It was about being in the moment. And right. I think, actually, I can see it happening on the film at this one moment. Where I felt, oh my God, that cover's falling down now, and I've got underwear on. And they're gonna like, oh, why was he wearing his underwear? You know. So I remember pulling that up, and it was silly. I hate
editing.
I hate when people are being nude in the bed, and they cover their body over, and they pull the sheets up. Like,
well, you know, normally I would say that isn't, but I do.
You do.
I'm the exception.
You and Marlena.
Right. Who's Marlena? Marlena. Oh my God. Of course. Days of our lives. When she was possessed.
She's not possessed. Dee's not possessed. I like her.
No. On the show.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't have a problem with it. And maybe that will change. I don't know.
Yeah. I props to you both, Matt and Kevin.
Matt, what were the shows that you
Matt did.
Well, I mean, not on Broadway or anything, but I did Take Me Out, which, as you know, Broadway play. I was Kippy in it, mm-hmm. which was a great role. But there's a shower scene.
Yeah, that's,
and you're naked
you
for a
very
long time.
A long
and
time.
Kippy has a huge amount of lines, so I had to get over
huge
the fact.
Huge amount.
To, I mean, to do. Sorry. And then also Little Dog Laughed, which I loved.
All right, where'd you do that?
In Burbank, at a theater in Burbank. That was different because that was the first time I had played a gay character in a show and had to do, it was a lot shorter nudity, but it was more in the moment. Mm-hmm. So it was very different nudity. It's like in the shower, completely non-sexual nudity. And then doing Little Dog Laugh when it was involved.
Yeah.
In the,
yeah. That's really great. The two shows I did were off Broadway. One was called Loaded, where I had, met a younger man online and the show starts in bed. The lights are up in bed, and he gets up and carries his little naked body to the bathroom, and then I'm laying in bed for some God knows how long, and then I gotta get up and go find something, and I'm nude. I'm just like running around naked on that stage. I go, where are my underwear? You know, so that was sort of like the thing. That was the action. But I remember stopping to talk with, you know, the underwear in my hand still. Because so many people want to go right to putting on the underwear because they're not covered. And I just thought, as long as I'm here, just be here. And the other show was kind of a similar thing as well. So anyway.
Yeah, there's nothing like pretending to shower naked on stage in front of people.
Oh, let's see you do it right now. You can do it right now.
No,
you know, it was, you know, you would have thought it would have changed something between
Who would have
Matt
thought this would have gone, this would have, this podcast would have gone from.
No, it's the first time we've talked about nudity.
No.
Oh.
We've talked about a lot of gay stuff, but not.
Yeah, it's
nudity.
Just always pretty gay. But, you know. But, you know, what can you do? No, but like I saw Matt's show, but I thought I'd be more weirded out seeing my friend naked, but I was just like, I didn't even, nothing against Matt. I just didn't care.
Yeah, my friends.
I was, I really was in like, what's the story? Like, I wasn't like, ah.
Listen, my friends came and sat in the front row and they brought binoculars. So.
Oh, wow.
My parents.
It's a joke.
My parents flew out for it. So.
No, no.
It,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I got that. I got the joke.
They're a little slow in the uptake, folks. They're a little slow in the joke taking. Okay.
Yes.
So, next question.
Yes, next question. Well, I was just going to wrap it up. I mean, like, oh, wait, I've got one more question. This is kind of fun. Okay, so you were in this movie called Backstabbed.
Yes.
And I loved it.
Was it a good movie?
It was so good.
It was fun.
Okay, so one of the things, due to social media, okay, so in the movie, you wore a shirt. And then someone called you out because you wore it outside of the movie. Were you just like, oh, my God, leave me alone.
You know
I'm
what?
Wearing this shirt.
You know what? First of all, it was my shirt.
And it was a great
and
shirt.
And they actually said, bring your wardrobe. And I thought this one shirt was very much the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, what am I going to say? I know who called me out on it, and I was like, oh, my God. And speaking of calling out, for those of you who don't live in New York or love a Broadway show and love a Broadway musical, go see the musical Dear Evan Hansen, where
yes!
I'm a Tony Award-winning producer on this incredible musical about a boy who tells a lie and it gets out of hand, and it is extraordinary. Ben Platt.
It's better than Hamilton, everybody.
It's different. It's a different thing.
I will never.
I will
Hamilton,
say it's better than Hamilton.
No. I haven't even seen Dear Evan Hansen, and I want to see it.
It's an extraordinary show, and I just knew from the moment I heard the story that it was so arresting, and I couldn't not be part of it. So a team of us, four of us, created a. Little LLC, and we helped raise money for this, and I'm very proud of that show.
I can't wait to see it.
No, I mean, if it weren't for the fact that the tickets are so expensive, like I've been wanting to see.
Ben Platt is leaving this week, the 19th of November, which this may I don't know when this podcast is on.
We'll put it out today.
But anyway, but they've got two more people coming in, and I don't know which order they're in, but the show stands alone. It can hold itself up, and it's just an extraordinary show.
No, it's the only, like...
And everybody...
I can't wait to see
everyone
it.
Everyone in this life, outside of this backyard, in the world, we all have a wound, and that's they're all working out their wounding. So it's extraordinary.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. Yay!
I will see... But let me just say this. I had the opportunity to see Hamilton, and I instead went to go buy khakis at the Gap.
Where the fuck are your priorities?
I don't know. And you know, I kind of regret it, but don't you sometimes have to be in the state of mind to do something?
Probably.
I know. I'm an idiot. But here's the thing. if it was Dear Evan Hansen, I would have skipped getting khakis.
You would have gone khakiless.
I would. Yes, I would have worn my underwear. Okay, so anyway, to wrap up this
wrapping
podcast,
it up. Did we get everything in?
Yes, we did. I was going to give you and Matt a quiz, a Friday 13th Part 7 quiz. It's just three questions.
Okay.
Okay, you were in it.
Laura Park Lincoln.
No. Laura Park Lincoln. Okay.
It is my favorite. It is my favorite in the series, and I'm not just saying that because you're here. Like, Tim's known. I just loved
it. It has something. But it's just different.
It's different.
It's Carrie meets Friday the 13th, and why not?
And for me, it was like, I grew up with a very powerful mom, sister, and it was all about, everything's about female empowerment. Like, Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2, Sigourney Weaver in Aliens. So, like, Lar Park Lincoln, I loved that there was someone that finally stood up to Jason. Like, because all the surviving women from the previous ones, I felt
they
like
didn't have powers.
No, they lived, but they weren't that strong.
And what are you saying?
Lar Park Lincoln, I loved her character.
Well,
because
she had a strength. She had a
she
strength.
Was badass.
And she
badass.
Yeah, she was badass.
So,
this is just a side question. Do you, well, I guess you have to say Lar Park Lincoln, but who's your favorite final girl? Or did you even watch the other Friday 13th, or like not interested?
Actually, I did. I've watched them all. I've seen them all. Because I have friends in different ones.
Like a better question is like.
No. I mean, Lara's great. Of course, she's my girl.
Right.
But Amy Steele.
Oh yeah, part two.
I like Amy Steele.
Yeah, she's cute and fun. I like her too.
Dana Kimmel.
Do you like Dana Kimmel? Part three.
Yes. Yeah. Amy and I got to know each other a little bit. Not, she probably doesn't remember me now, but
she does.
I just remember she was. She was hip. She's hip.
She also did April Fool's Day.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. Fun fact. Okay, so
okay, here's
my quiz. Okay. Terry Kaiser, also known as Bad News Cruz, plays a comedic corpse in what Andrew McCarthy comedy?
The Weeknd. Weekend at Bernie's.
Yes. Oh. Kevin has 1 point. Matt has none.
I couldn't get it all out in one. You know, I couldn't get it all out of my brain at the same time.
I could have figured that out after about two or three more minutes of really.
Yeah, but we don't have.
Matt, we don't have that.
This is a podcast.
It's fast. It is okay. Maddie played by Maddie played by Diana Burrows says after her self-made makeover, need a little touch-up work, blank blank. Need a little touch-up work.
Too specific. I don't know. It has been some time since I've seen the movie. Need a little touch-up. Is she the short girl with the glasses who gets them and gets killed in the shed outside? She says, need a little touch-up work.
And then she goes, she's staring in the mirror, and she goes, need a little touch-up work, blank, blank.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to give it. She goes, she says, go home and watch it, kids. She says, need a little touch-up work, my ass.
Where did you get these?
I made them up. Listen.
I don't remember that, but I guess you did.
I remember her. I remember her and her character, obviously, but I did not remember that.
I like, what's her name? She reminded me of Tina Louise. Prettier. But she got the axe in the head.
Oh, Melissa. Oh, my God. Okay, that's. Oh. That was my next question. So here we go. It said, Melissa. The bitchy girl is killed with a machete, axe. B, axe, C, weed whacker.
Well, but
Kevin said it.
What's her real name? Her name
is Melissa Susan Sullivan?
Susan Sullivan?
Susan
Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sullivan, right?
Susan Jane Sullivan? I know this.
She was also
Jennifer Susan Sullivan.
Yeah, something like that. She was also in my Quantum Leap the episode of Quantum Leap that I was
in. With thank
there
you. I had all three of them. I just need to put together.
My favorite death of the Friday 13th series is in 7, the sleeping bag one.
And guess what?
Or yeah, that was you in there.
What's her name?
Susan Jane Sullivan. Yeah.
She was on Days of Our Lives.
Oh my gosh, full circle.
Full circle.
Oh dear. So, all right, Kevin. Thank you so
much. I had
a
blast. Let's do this again next week.
All right. Thank you so much for coming out to the backyard. And there's a squirrel.
Thank you.
Did you see that squirrel?
I
right
did
there?
See a squirrel. There he is.
Here he goes. Here he goes.
Don't you do it.
He
don't
does
you
at
do
night.
It
freaks me out. Oh my God.
Wow.
What you can't see is that.
What you can't see
you can't
is that
see.
This squirrel just did a pike and a half off the roof into the tree.
That was impressive. But let me just say this. At night, as someone who likes horror movies, I don't like that. Because they're up there at night, and I get scared.
I know.
Yes, yeah. It is the worst. Anyway, fun fact.
I'm going to go pee.
Yes. Well, we'll wrap it up. The show. Yes, yes. Thank you so much,
and
Kevin.
And then I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk.
Yes,
know,
normal.
Normal.
We're off the podcast. Okay, but before we go, my good friend Matt is going to read about a movie called Killer Christmas.
Yes, this is actually a friend of mine, Peter Paul Shaker, and his brother created this movie that is just in time out for the holidays. It is a horror movie, Christmas themed, and nobody loves anything more than Christmas themed horror movies like Silent Night, Deadly Night, Silent Night, Black Christmas. There's a million of them. So if you like Christmas themed horror movies, you got to check out this movie. It's called Killer Christmas, and it is actually coming out November 22nd, which is the day before Thanksgiving, on cable video on demand, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Direct, Microsoft Network, and Sony PlayStation Network, meaning you can find it almost everywhere. And Tim and I got to see the movie. It's really creepy. It takes place in this creepy, like,
I want to say hotel.
Yeah, it's like a creepy hotel, and there's a killer with the Santa mask that's coming after these teenagers after they went to this Christmas tree farm. I, Matt, was actually an extra in the movie. Can you believe it, Tim?
I can.
I can. No. But it was great. And the most impressive part is that Peter and Tony, they're two brothers. It's their first film they put together, and they put everything together. They did all of it themselves and put it together in under a year. It was really impressive. And now it's being distributed right in time for the holidays. So you got to check it out on one of those networks, platforms. November 22nd on all those platforms. And it's called Killer Christmas.
Good job, Matt. Thank you.